Were you ever mad at God?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I started thinking what I did in the marriage that made it fall apart. My part in it. Not that I was the reason he had the affair. I was not. Mm-hmm. That was no excuse for him having the affair. But I did have a lot of faults in our marriage. I knew that if I told him no the rest of my life, I would wonder, what if I'd have said yes?
In today's episode, I have one of my favorite guests. Actually, it is my favorite guest that I have ever had on the podcast, and it is my mom. Today, I'm joined by Alice Beam, and we talk about a lot of things, about parenting, about what it's like to parent different types of children, as she has parented a very strong-willed child. I'll let you guess who that is. She's parented a special needs child, and she's parented a child who's more like her, more of a hospitable servant type, which is not me. But she's done a lot. She also went through a divorce and a remarriage to the same person, which is my dad. And we talk about what that was like for her. We also talk about some of the fun stories of me as a kid, which I'm sure you'll get a great laugh of. I hope you enjoy today's episode as much as I enjoyed having this great conversation with my mom. Let's dive in. Well, Mom, I think the question that's on everyone's mind is, what has it been like to be a parent of me?
Oh, wow. That is a great question. Oh, it has been an interesting journey.
That's the adjective, interesting.
Interesting. It has been wonderful. It has absolutely been a delight. Kimberly was very strong-willed as a child. You were so strong-willed.
Oh boy!
But you were such a blessing to us and to me. I almost feel guilty about the other two, you know, about Joanna and Angela, because I was so relaxed when I had you.
Yeah,
we treated you differently. In that we gave you more freedom and more responsibility than we did the other two. But you, even when you were young, you just showed so much responsibility and really so much maturity. You know, so it was kind of easy for us to do that for you.
Yeah.
But you were you were very active and very strong-willed.
I was a brat.
And I still remember when we had a parent-teacher meeting with a fourth-grade teacher, and you absolutely loved him. I cannot remember his name.
Mr. Davis. Mr.
Davis.
My third-grade teacher.
Third grade.
Loved him.
You loved him. So you knew we were going in and meet him that night and talk with him. And you came to us and you said, please, please don't tell him how I really am.
I was such a straight-A student in school.
Yes, you were.
Always. But at home, I would throw temper tantrums.
You were. You did. You threw temper tantrums. And you would scream and yell, and we'd send you to your room. Yeah. And you would scream and yell.
And you would threaten to tape record me.
I did.
Play it for my teachers.
Yeah, I remember that.
And that's
that
what
now.
Put me back in line. Yeah. Like, you can't tell them how I really am.
You cannot tell them how I really am. It's so funny. But, you know, I think back on it, and just such a delightful time. We did a lot of traveling as a family, yeah. You know.
Yeah. So the thing that I want the audience members to get from our conversation together, mm-hmm. because you have three kids that are all very different.
Very different.
So I want to ask you, before we get into that, and you are the best mother. Everyone knows you're the best mother. Even people who work at Marriage Helper are like, your mom is the best. Everyone knows it. And you are the person where anyone, if you were to call anyone who knew you and said, I need your kidney, they would give it to you in a heartbeat. Like, they wouldn't even ask questions. They would just do it.
You got me tearing up.
Well, here. I know, but it's true. So I
admit it. Even though I'm the one that sent the trash for your lunch, not your lunch.
Yes. Because it goes with your lovable nature. Like, clearly you didn't mean to send the bag of trash. That was in high school. Yeah.
I'm trying to distract you so I won't cry.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. So I want to ask you about what it was like to parent three very different kids. So for those for the listeners who may not know, my oldest sister, your oldest daughter, mm-hmm. Angela, mm-hmm. is mentally handicapped mm-hmm. and has been for 53 years. She'll be 53 or she is 53?
She's 53. She'll be 54 this year.
Okay. Yeah. So for 54 years. Mm-hmm. So what was it like when you realized, and you were young then when you mm-hmm. had her? So how was it realizing you were going to have a special needs child, and how did you handle that?
It was absolutely devastating to begin with. We knew that she was slower than others, and it took us to accepting it. It probably took us about 4 years to really accept and wrap our head around, our mind around, you know, this she's our special needs child. How are we going to deal? How are we going to accept this? Mm. So it probably took a good 5 or 6 years to really get comfortable with the fact that, okay, this is her life. This is our life with her. But finally, when we both accepted it and started reframing the fact that, you know, what the special needs meant to us, you know, we can be devastated by this or we can be blessed by this. Mm. So we flipped it, and we think of her, and she is a total blessing to us and the family. For the sure. grandkids, they love her. You know, mm-hmm. y'all love her. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves Angel. Mm-hmm. And like Joe's always told her, Angel, if the world were like you, it'd be a better place. Mm-hmm. And Angel will tell people that. My dad says, if the world were like me, it'd be a better place. And, you know, and it's just a delight to have her. And accepting her, accepting what her life is to her, what she wants to do every day, you know, instead of me trying to micromanage her, it's like I let her be her. Mm-hmm. I let her do what she wants to do. When she was younger, she did have a lot of, you know, she would unload the dishes and vacuum and things like that until one day, she was vacuuming and something got caught in the vacuum cleaner and it caught it on fire. Mm. And she was absolutely terrified after that mm-hmm. to vacuum. So nothing like that. I don't make her do anything like that anymore. But, you know, she'll unload the dishwasher. She'll fold the clothes and, you know, things like that. But the older she gets, she's more wants to be at home, wants to be in her room listening to her music. And I respect that about her. Yeah. I mean, you know, I let her do that.
So what do you feel are some of the parent or the lessons about yourself or the joys that you've learned in life from parenting a special needs child?
I think what I have learned from is patience, is acceptance, is not letting the view from the world looking at a special needs person when we're out in public affect me. Mm. You know, it's accepting her, loving her, and just, you know, giving her what she needs, you know, and not worrying about what the world thinks about it.
Yeah.
Because it really doesn't matter what the world thinks about it. She's our daughter. She's our family, and we love her, and we are blessed to have her. I've even had people ask me, well, don't you want to put her in a home? Mm. And I I said, why would I want to put her in a home?
Yeah.
When we love her and she gives so much joy to our family.
Right.
And she's hilarious at times.
Oh, yeah.
She really is. She can, you know, she can say the funniest things.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
She'll, I mean, she's always done her dirty dance.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So she'll like walk through a room, just shaking her butt as she walks.
Yeah.
And then she'll look at you and point and do, and she's like, I'm doing my dirty dance.
Dirty dance, yeah. And that's what her Aunt Dale taught
her.
Oh,
boy.
Which is not. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So then there's Joanna.
There's Joanna.
And what is her, for the listeners, what is her personality like?
Her personality is, well, I guess her personality is somewhat like mine. She's more like me, in that she's a completer and a family. You know, of course, you are too, but you're a more controlling or a more commander. Did erase that. You are more. How do I say this, Kimberly? You're more confident with yourself.
I'm more probably driven, assertive, outgoing.
Absolutely.
Conflict approaching.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Joanna and I will go to the end of the earth not to face conflict. We want everything to go smoothly. We don't want any rifts. We want everybody to be happy. Nobody to be mad. Does that... kind of, I mean, that's the way it is, really.
Yeah, but Joanna's nosy, too.
She is nosy.
She's very nosy.
I don't think I'm as nosy as she is. I am a little bit, but not as much as Joanna. She wants to know everything that's going on in everybody's life.
Mm-hmm. And,
you know, and she won't stop until you tell her.
Right.
So, yeah. But as a child, she was so different than you. And that she was real quiet, very easy to manage. She, you know.
Did she ever throw a temper tantrum?
I don't ever remember her throwing a temper tantrum. I don't, she may have, but I don't remember it. You know, she, you know, we could take her places and I would say, you know, you can't touch anything, and she would.
Yeah.
And then, as where you would be standing up in the cart, jumping up and down, running through the store, doing your flip. You know, she was just real, real quiet.
Yeah.
So
obedient.
Obedient. Well, you were, well, yeah, a little bit more than.
No, not quite.
You were a challenge to me.
Yeah.
I remember one time I spanked you,
mm-hmm.
and you would not stop. And you were telling me it wouldn't hurt. So I mm-hmm. called your daddy. I called Joe and he said, you better stop because the cops are going to come over and arrest
us. By the time she says it hurts.
By the time she says it hurts. So, yeah.
That was me.
That was
I remember I would pad my underwear with socks.
Yes.
When I knew I was going to get a spanking.
Yeah.
And run and hide under your bed.
Yes, you would do that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what a lot of the listeners, because several of them are going to know who you are from Marriage Helper and the fact yes. that you are the reason Marriage Helper even exists, and they're going to want to know how you handled being a parent through a divorce.
That was extremely difficult. I was blessed in that I had my family within 20 miles of me. Some of them lived in the same town. But my parents were absolutely my salvation when it came to, you know, Joanna and...
Oh, y'all lived in Montgomery.
We lived in Montgomery.
Yeah.
And so they would stay in Tallahassee because I had work.
Mm-hmm.
And they were wonderful. And all my brothers and sisters were wonderful. And they really just loved them, you know. But when... it was just the three of us together. It was very sad.
Mm.
You know, Joanna would cry a lot. Of course, Angel would cry. She missed her dad, but she didn't really understand,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he would come see him every other weekend. But he would always leave too. So it was hard. It was really a sad time, that 3 years, you know.
How long did the divorce process take?
Like, it took what about a year, I think.
So what happened? Like, what was the breaking point in your marriage where y'all decided to separate or to divorce? How did it unfold?
He was caught.
He was caught in an affair.
Yes.
How was he caught? Did you catch him?
I knew it, but I didn't know it. I'm not sure.
That I know?
No. No. Do you know?
That's why I'm asking the question. I don't know.
You know, it's been so many years ago.
Was he caught by a person?
I think he was. You know, I have actually never really... I don't know why. I don't remember that. Maybe that's something I have blocked out of my memory.
Yeah.
But I just know he was caught.
And then you were told.
Yeah. I mean, because I really knew it.
Yeah. You sensed it.
I sensed it for several months.
And you knew the
and
woman.
And I figured it out who it was, but I didn't have proof.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something I really need to clear up with him.
So when he was caught, was he immediately fired? Because he was for people who may not know, he was a preacher at a church.
Yes, I think he was.
And then what did you do? Did you move out? Did he move out?
He moved out.
Immediately. It was like right then.
I went on a trip with mother and daddy and my sister and her husband and Joanna and Angela. And I knew he left when I was gone. And then when I got back, he wasn't there, is the way I remember it.
Mm-hmm.
That was just, I cannot tell you, I cannot even explain how absolutely devastating that week or two was. Because I had not told my parents. They did not know anything, and they had loved him. But my brother was a deacon in the church where we were.
Oh, wow.
So I'm thinking maybe James Earl told them or me. But mother and daddy knew it. They knew something in Dale and Houston because I was absolutely a zombie on that trip. You know, I was. I couldn't even hardly function. We went to the mountains, and
How did you handle all of it, the emotions, the pain, the hurt? How did you get back to where you could function again?
It took me, I would say, 3 or 4 or 5 months. I mean, I didn't want to get out of bed. I would send the kids to school, and then I'd go back to bed. I was just in the darkest place. And mother and them would come down, you know, and they try to, but I wouldn't talk. I wouldn't do anything. I handled everything terribly. Everything that I did was the wrong thing. You know, I remember begging him not to leave and crying. And then every time I would see him, I would cry and, you know, just, I was so terribly unattractive at that time because I was so depressed and so devastated. And so then I realized, you know, I got to get up and do something. I don't have a job, never had work, never had to. So I pulled myself up and one of the elders at the church owned his son-in-law owned a fireplace shop. And he told me to go over there. And they hired me, and I was a salesperson, believe it or not. It was just kind of crazy.
And you were a pretty good salesperson.
I ended up being a very good salesperson. But that's really when I started kind of putting my life somewhat back together, pulling myself up, because I didn't have any self-confidence. I had zero self-confidence, really even in our first marriage, because I saw myself as Mrs. Joe Beam and not Alice Beam.
Mrs. Joe.
I would introduce my, can you imagine this knowing me now? That I would tell people when I would introduce myself, I would say, I'm Mrs. Joe Beam. And it was like my whole identity was in Joe.
Well, he was, before the affair, he was very successful.
Oh, my goodness. Everybody wanted him.
Yeah.
He traveled 52 weeks. He traveled 52 speaking engagements a year. Yeah. That's one a week.
Yeah.
You know, and some of them were several days a week, you know. I mean, to audiences that were 10,000, 20,000 people.
Yeah.
So really, I began to see myself, hey, I'm valuable. I can do this. I can really do this, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think over time he began to see how I was changing,
mm-hmm.
you know.
So you're the original working on your pies person.
I really am, and didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
I had not a clue what I was doing. But yeah. Yeah, people ask me questions sometime in the workshop, and I said I was working on pies. They asked me how I got through it and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I said I actually began to work on my pies when I didn't even know what working on the pies was all about.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So how did you find the time as a single mom to focus on yourself as well?
I would focus on myself. Really, my focus was on myself was at work,
mm-hmm.
really, because I had friends, but I did have one friend, and I would go see her a lot, and she was a young mother, you know, so I would help, you know, rock the baby and all that kind of stuff, and we would go out to eat
mm-hmm.
together because she had another child. And then I had the two, and she had the baby. So I would go out with her
mm-hmm.
a lot. But I just didn't want to develop friendships. I mean, other than just the one with her. And I would go every weekend when I didn't work, because I told them that I would not be able to work on the weekends because mm-hmm. I'd have to be with my children.
Mm-hmm.
And they totally understood that. And they really were really good to me at my work because mm-hmm. they knew my situation.
You mm-hmm. know.
But so I would stay on the weekends at my mom and dad's, you know. And
they would help with the kids, too.
They would help with the kids, you know.
Yeah.
They would. And they lived on a farm, so they, you know, there was a lot, you know,
mm-hmm.
to do. So.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel like there was a stigma at church that you were divorced?
Well, I still attended the congregation for a while where we were and where she was.
Did she stay?
Yeah. I would pass her in the halls, and a couple of times she would kind of like bump into me. The reason I stayed is because Joanna liked her class, and Angela even was in a Bible class that she liked. But that didn't last because I just couldn't be there.
I'm surprised you didn't punch her in the face.
I wanted to. Yeah, I really did. But it just hurt so much. Mm-hmm. And I think I don't think they knew what to say to me or how to treat me.
Yeah.
I think they felt sorry for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I felt, the more I realized I don't want people to feel sorry for me.
Yeah.
You know, I really didn't want that.
Right.
So I didn't go to church there long.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, my father was preaching for a little bitty church about 60 miles from Tallahassee. So we would go with him sometime on Sundays.
Mm-hmm. Were you ever mad at God?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It was like, why me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a special needs daughter. I have a 6-year-old. You know, I've never worked. What am I going to do, God? Why did you do this? Why? And those days that I was, you know, my darkest in those first few months, that's what I would think every day, you know, and I was so depressed. It's like, Lord, why did you do this to me? And I was just like, really mad. And then it just hit me one day, actually after I started working on myself, you know, well, why not me? I mean, literally, why not me? And then about a year or so into the separation, and it took about a year before he started proceedings with the divorce. It didn't take that long, about 6 months before it was final. But I started thinking what I did in the marriage that made it fall apart, my part in it. Not that I was the reason he had the affair. I was not. Mm-hmm. That was no excuse for him having the affair. But I did have a lot of faults in our marriage. Mm-hmm. I was not there for him when he needed it, when we were going through some religious beliefs that he had that the brotherhood that we were in, you know, our congregation or our
denomination.
Yeah, it's hard for me to say that because we were taught it was that our church was not a denomination, but it is. Okay, it is. That our denomination did not hold, that he held grace of all things. You know, he believed in grace, that everybody had grace.
That it's real.
It is real. And it's crazy that people, and I agreed with him, but because the people of our denomination did not believe that.
And because you're conflict avoidant.
Absolutely. Why don't you just not believe this? Why don't you just not say this? Because we're going to end up without a job.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there were other things, you know. I was just, you know, it was always what other people thought.
Mm-hmm.
And not what necessarily was the right thing. What are people going to say about this?
Yeah.
How are people going to look at this? You know, what are we going to do?
How did you get over caring about what people thought?
Hard. Just life. Just going through and just, it wasn't until we reconciled that I started not caring about what people thought and what was the right thing to do. And I really began to realize that when Joe asked me to come back, I told him I had to take a couple of weeks to think about it. And I went to the elders of the church. They told me not to. That, how are you going to trust him? You know, you've been 3 years. You're moving on. You know, I thought, well, that's odd. You know, and then of course my parents, but they had loved Joe, but they were very fearful about us getting back together because they didn't know.
Yeah.
And I didn't know. I did not know. I did not have a clue if this was going to work or not. But what I knew is that he asked me to do this. I had two children with him that they loved him. And actually, I had just started seeing someone about 3 or 4 months before he asked me this. And so, to come back, and I was thinking during that time, okay, I can move forward with another person. But there's no guarantees in any relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has baggage. And I knew that with my core values, that's what it came down to with me deciding what I was going to do, is my core values and the fact that he had asked me, and if I said no, I knew that if I told him no the rest of my life, I would wonder, what if I'd have said yes? What would have happened? I wonder what would have happened. So I decided, yes, I'm going to say yes, that I'm coming back. not knowing if it's going to work or not. But I knew in my mind that I was going to do everything in my power to make it work. And I knew to do that, I could not listen to these negative people that were telling me not to.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that it was my decision and I was going to try it. If it didn't work, well, at least I could look back and say, I gave it a try.
Yeah.
And I would not have to go through my life saying, what if I hadn't tried it? Does that make any sense?
Yeah. I just think it's crazy to think, I mean, look at what's happened because you tried. So, you know, with that answer or with that thought that you had of, if I say no, what if I had said yes?
Right.
Well, now you know what's happened because you said yes.
That's absolutely right. But on the flip side of that, it took Joe coming to the point in his life to ask me to come back, if I would come back. But I could not have. And look, you wouldn't be here. Oh my gosh. you know, you would not even be here.
Yeah.
And Marriage Helper wouldn't exist.
No. That's what I'm saying. You would have, because you said yes.
Yeah.
Marriage Helper exists. I mean, I exist. Yeah. Marriage Helper exists.
Right. Right.
Eliana, my kids exist, right? There's so many effects of one person's decision.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And it has been so worth every bit of it, you know. Of course, my parents, they just needed to see that he had changed. And they saw that within a year. I mean, they were loving him again, going hunting with him. Daddy was taking him hunting, my brothers. So all of it, you know, we've been very blessed.
Did his parents ever say anything to him?
I don't know.
You don't know.
They loved me. I know that.
Well, yeah, I know they loved you.
They did. They didn't.
But what was it like going back and seeing them for the first time after y'all reconciled?
Well, I had gone back a couple of times after he asked me, you know, if I would take, so I had gone back that first time and it was like, there's nothing that happened. It was weird in a way, you know, it was like we had just picked up like when
where
we were
left off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how did you handle it with the kids, with Joanna and Angel, with the reconciliation? Was that easy for them?
It was exciting for them. I let Joe talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he talked to him when he left and he told him that he was coming back. We both did. We both sat down and told him we were going to be a family again.
Mm-hmm.
And they were involved in the, you know, they had their little dresses and they stood up with us and, you know, the little flowers and stuff. So they were part of it. And we talked about, we're all getting married.
Mm.
Yeah. We're all becoming a family again.
Yeah.
So they were real excited about that. That was a real special day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did they feel when you got pregnant again?
They were excited. they were. Of course, Angela didn't really understand it until my tummy started getting really big.
Yeah.
And I think Joanna kind of had mixed emotions about it to begin with because, you know, she'd been the baby. But she was excited. Mm-hmm. To know she was going to have a little baby, you know. And then we found out you were a girl pretty quickly.
Because
I had a test to see about that. But,
Because there's a large age difference for the listeners. So me and my oldest sister is 19 years and me and Joanna is 12. Mm-hmm. So we have a big age gap. Mm-hmm. So was there ever a part of you that felt like, I guess you were never going to be empty nesters because you were always going to have Angel.
Yeah.
But you didn't feel like you were starting back at square one.
You know, not really.
How did you have the energy? You were 41. I don't even have the energy at 34 to think about a baby.
I did. I mean, you know, it was, People thought we were your grandparents.
I know. It's more common now, though.
It is so common now. Well, even when you were in kindergarten, when we took you to kindergarten the first day, we saw this couple. Mm-hmm. And Joe and I both said, well, that must be the grandparents bringing, because they were older than us.
Yeah.
You remember Lauren's parents were older
I think her mom was like 45 or 46 when she had Lauren.
I think she was 4 or 5 years older than me.
Yeah. So and in kindergarten, she was already 50 something.
Yeah. So, you know, so we bonded with, you know, it was like, yay, we're not the oldest parents here. But then there were parents that were in their 20s, not even 30.
Yeah.
So it was very strange because even through high school, mm-hmm. you know, I was one of the oldest parents.
Yeah.
But yeah. So
you wouldn't do it any different.
I wouldn't. I really wouldn't. I mean,
what advice would you want to leave to the parents out there listening?
Oh my goodness. Just enjoy your children and listen to them. Listen to your children. And you know, I mean, they need to be disciplined, but you need to listen to what they're saying.
That's not common. I don't feel like that's a common parenting tip that you hear. You'll hear your kids need to listen to you, but you don't really ever hear
that is true. But I think we need to listen to our children more, you know, because that gives an insight to me. What it gives an insight to is how we're parenting.
Yeah.
You know, if they disagree with us about something, we need to listen to why they disagree with us. Just like they need to listen to us while we, you know, while we're telling them what they need to do. I think it's a reciprocal thing.
Yeah.
We need to listen to each other.
What were some of your favorite like family rituals?
Oh, well, Christmas, of mm-hmm. course.
Of course.
You know, I'm all about Christmas.
Yes.
And all about, you know, the Santa Claus thing and the big family meals and all of that. The other thing is our family trips together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was, you know, we have tons of wonderful memories from all those trips that we took. And, and pizza night, which seemed to be several times a week. When I tell you, when we left Augusta and they sent us a, they all cried when we
the Papa John's workers literally cried.
Yes.
Because every year we ordered so much pizza, they would give us a poinsettia.
That's
every
right.
Christmas.
And a Christmas card.
And a Christmas card. And when you say you love Christmas, so context for the listeners is you have how many full Christmas trees? When they're all up, like when they've all been up, you have at least 3, if not 5.
Oh, you mean,
big Christmas trees.
Big Christmas trees. I have 3 or 4. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the ceramic
trees. You have about 120 ceramic Christmas trees.
Well, not quite, but.
I counted them once.
Are you serious?
You won a contest one year and you didn't even know there was a contest.
I didn't.
For the best.
Now that is.
For the best dressed yard and house for Christmas.
I didn't even know it was a contest.
No.
I didn't.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Always you're like Miss Claus. Always it's dressed to the nines. And yes, with all the travel, that was one of the things at y'all's 50th wedding anniversary. Every table had a theme of a place that we had traveled to, and we had the pictures of that from the years.
Yes.
So those rituals have always been important.
Yeah. And just I don't know, just the all the family reunion, you know, the family times that we've traveled to different family, you know, functions, you know, and just being with your cousins and the brothers and brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws. Yeah.
What final word of encouragement would you want to leave to the listeners?
About parenting?
Parenting, about, family,
oh,
pies.
Just, you know, I guess what I think about most is family, just the whole family unit, the husband, wife, children, grandchildren, aunts, uncles, grandparents, just the whole family unit, just to keep that intact in your family. Keep those traditions going. Talk about the things from the past, from the grandparents to the parents to the great-grandparents. Just give them their legacy. Let them know what their legacy was and is.
Yeah. Thank you for joining me today.
You're welcome.
It's a great episode. People are going to love it.
Love you.
Love you. Here are my key takeaways from today's episode. I know this is my mom, and so I'm a bit biased, but she's so full of joy and light and wisdom, and she has one of the best laughs in the entire world. My key takeaways from this episode aren't just necessarily about some of the things that she's talked about, but what I want to leave with you is that my mother and what I have learned from my mother throughout my life has made a lasting impact on me. And perhaps my encouragement to you as a mom or as a dad, or even as someone who doesn't yet have children, is to really think about what is the legacy that you are leaving on the people in your life that you love. How are you showing up for them on a daily basis? My mother, as you can see, has been the pinnacle of emotional attraction. She evokes emotions within other people that they enjoy feeling, pretty much with every person she encounters. The only time you're going to experience emotions from her that don't evoke positive emotions in you is if you've gotten on her bad side. And the way you get on her bad side is by doing something to threaten her family. She is insanely loyal, very committed, and treats everyone that she encounters with love and with respect. She's the kind of person that I want to be more of. And I know that you probably have a strong woman in your life, as this is releasing around Mother's Day, that you want to emulate as well. Maybe today is the day that you reach out to that person and thank them for the influence that they've been in your life, while also taking some time to think about how are you influencing those that you love in your life. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Share it with someone who you think could benefit. Follow us on podcast. Subscribe on YouTube. And as always, until next week, stay strong.